Introduction.
For those of you familiar with the movie The Matrix, you have a very clear choice here and now to either take the blue pill or the red pill. Take the blue pill, and you stop right now. Go back to reading your New York Times, taking medications, receiving vaccinations, believing everything you were told by your medical doctor, eventually becoming sick and dying of some disease like 90% of the human beings walking the earth today. Take the red pill, and like Morpheus, I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. The choice is yours. One caveat? Embarking on the pages of this book should be carefully considered by worshippers of Big Brother and the faint of heart. With this knowledge comes the innate urge to take responsibility, an unpleasant prospect for many. No matter your level of interest in the workings of the world around you and your commitment to making it a better place, once you take the red pill, you can never go back and see the world in the same way. I'll pause a few seconds now and give you time to make up your mind. Welcome, Red Pills. Every day, I watch dozens of school children in my neighborhood suffer the ill effects of an oppressive medical system that preys upon them. Sound like too strong a comment to begin a book? Perhaps it is. But in my 35-plus years of service to the community as a dedicated chiropractic physician, I feel the time has come for drastic measures by parents who've had enough. At the time of the initial writing of this book, in 1999, compiled studies showed that autism had increased as much as 3,000 times from where it was 75 years ago, and childhood cancer became the leading killer of children ages 3 to 14. Now, at the time of this audiobook production, which represents our 7th edition in 2018, nearly 20 years later, the statistics are shockingly more dire, with rates of autism spectrum amongst children and teens reaching 50%. Cancer rates in children under 16 have as well reached disastrous, epidemic proportions. We have passed the point of a mere health crisis. Our children and teens now exist within a frightening disease paradigm that is the direct result of intentional blood toxicity primarily caused by the out-of-control, running rampant with profits, completely unregulated pharmaceutical industry. Over a 7-year period through the 1990s, autism rose a staggering 273% in California, following their whooping cough vaccination program. Autism, a subclinical form of encephalitis, brain damage due to brain swelling, was hardly noticeable in America until the advent of mandatory vaccination programs. Consider the following statistical information on autism. 1 in 10,000 births were autistic in the 1970s, 1 in 500 in the 1980s, 1 in 100 in the 1990s, 1 in 86 in 2003, United Kingdom study. The only thing that could create such a drastic change in our population, to make a form of mental retardation almost commonplace in less than 50 years' time, is the systematic neurological poisoning of the population. By a simple process of elimination, the common denominator acting as the toxic agent in the varying communities around the globe in which we find autism is most obviously the array of toxic poisons found in every medical vaccine. Our global autism pandemic was most certainly caused by the high levels of mercury and other lethal toxins injected directly into the bloodstream of practically 95% of our population through forced vaccines. Some people are asking why, attempting to find the hidden meaning to this tragedy. But most researchers are asking the wrong questions. The fact is simple. The bulk of medically oriented care of our children does not work, especially when we consider the practice of medical prevention through vaccines. It never has worked, and to the contrary, medical care is the primary reason our society is as sick as it is today. To date, the World Health Organization reports over 30 countries where the general health and well-being of its people far exceed that of North Americans. Consider that North America is one of the wealthier continents on the globe. Doesn't that raise a brow of suspicion? This text will attempt to explain why to you, in a step-by-step fashion, backed by solid research, to further expose the fraud that has been pushed upon us all, especially over the past 3 decades. Here is what you can expect to discover from this text, so keep on reading if you are interested. 1. There is absolutely no proof anywhere that vaccinated children are healthier than non-vaccinated children. In fact, the opposite is true. 2. Despite what your pediatrician may tell you, there is absolutely no proof anywhere that the party line statement, vaccine benefits outweigh the risks, is true. In fact, there is a ton of evidence pointing in the opposite direction. 3. There is no proof anywhere that vaccinations are safe. 4. Vaccinations cause illness, death, and disease. 5. There are no long-term safety studies completed on vaccines. 6. Vaccines cause crib death, autism, brain damage, and childhood cancer. 7. Deaths from old childhood diseases were due to poor sanitation and improper public hygiene, and were mostly gone long before the onset of vaccination programs. 8. Vaccines contain lethal toxins and poisons. 9. Childhood diseases actually strengthen the immune system naturally. 10. Vaccines are responsible for the astronomical rise in spinal meningitis and encephalitis over the past 5 decades. 11. Vaccines are strongly linked to learning difficulties, hyperactivity, and many forms of mental retardation. 12. You can legally avoid vaccinations in any state regardless of the law. This text is a simple compilation and review of the facts which have been available for a long time. Aside from my private natural healing practice of chiropractic, I have not done any personal research projects to support the data which already exists. There really is no need to do so anyway, since the data which exists is still undeniable. I have, however, read hundreds of major texts available on the subject over the years, as well as hundreds of the references which form those texts. This made me come to the conclusion that a summary text such as this one is not only beneficial, but vitally necessary for people to access. The books explaining the research compiled for the anti-vaccine issue are many in number, yet few explain things in a precise, direct classroom-style manner, as does this book. Many are laden with statistical facts and charts that the layman may have difficulty sifting through, and thus fully understand. My hope is that this book will serve as a guideline for further inquiry and personal study into the workings of what I call the medical cartel, a now complicated network of medical professionals, government officials, and pharmaceutical companies who exist solely for profit, often unassuming, unsuspecting, naive, and brainwashed people. This book also provides legal strategies for relief of oppressive vaccination laws. Oh sure, you can read all the mainstream pamphlets put out by the medical cartel, and they are sure to tell you the exact opposite of what you will learn in this text. Who are you going to believe? I submit that you get all the facts, and decide what the truth is for yourself using common sense, a commodity of American civilization which has become terribly wounded. People need to wake up to the realization that private interest groups, such as pharmaceutical companies, the American Medical Association, and the politicians writhing their hands to obtain paybacks, submit mile-high piles of junk science to both the people and the government, creating political agendas through paranoia which generate huge profits. People also need to wake up to the realization that whenever private research groups complete an investigation on the wares of the medical cartel, primarily drugs and vaccines, the results are not as colorful. Often they are quite disastrous. Before we get started with this material, understand that it will most definitely upset you. Not in any way do I intend to criticize any particular medical profession by the writings herein. I stand firm on my belief that most medical doctors are good and hard-working people, who have nothing but the best intentions in mind for their patients. But then again, most medical professionals, especially doctors, are vastly misguided. I have met many people who, once presented with a book the likes such as this one, fall into a eulogy of medical fire and brimstone. How dare you say this? I had a loving auntie who died of tuberculosis. I had a brother who was totally paralyzed from polio. The Salk vaccine saved us all from the same fate, probably even you. I had a cousin who was in an iron lung from pertussis. How could you be so ungrateful for what our modern medicine has provided for us? On and on and on they go, preaching the doctrine of the medical religion and promising damnation for those who don't comply. They base their strong emotionally charged support of vaccinations and fraudulent statistical information promoted by the medical cartel and government officials. Some don't know any better and are just caught in the matrix. Some do and purposely keep the fraud moving forward. Fact is, the medical profession is vitally necessary in our world. My son had an accident where he required many stitches, and I was eternally grateful for the skilled hands of the caring plastic surgeon who came off his fishing boat to call on my emergency. My son had no scars due to this man. When I was 9, my appendix nearly burst. If not for the caring doctors and hospital staff who performed an emergency appendectomy at 3:15 a.m., I would not be writing this book today. I have known cases of children with brain dysfunction where medication was absolutely necessary to bring them out of their inner cage and function happily and productively in the world. Certainly, with due consideration, medicine has its place. But this book is not about that. It is also not about grieving for the tragedies of people who have experienced hardships at the face of some disease process. This book is about an oppressive system of medical government now out of control in America. And it is certainly about rethinking the germ theory into a more plausible, logical theory of true health care, not merely disease care. The unfortunate truth is that despite all its credits, modern medicine has done far more damage to our society than it has good, and should always be procured with extreme caution. If you believe medical care has helped your child, this book will make you think twice about your particular story. Once again, medicine does have its place in this world. When allowed to expand outside the realm of crisis care, however, in which medicine has more than exceeded its boundaries, the net result on our nation has been far more than disastrous. It is an outright crime, unlike any other of recorded history. Let me ask you a very serious question, parent to parent. What would you do to an individual, or a group of individuals, who purposely caused physical harm to your precious child, all for their own profit and gain? Would you call the police? Hire a lawyer and begin a serious lawsuit? Take matters into your own hands and go after them with a club? Now, suppose you do any of these things and get chastised by the authorities, arrested, and have your child taken away from you, only to have the same harmful process repeated on them forcefully by these same individuals. What would you do? The better question to ask today, I suppose, is what are you going to do? This scenario is real, and it is happening in America right now as you read this text. The DCF, Department of Children and Families, in states around the country are taking children from their parents, claiming that the parents are negligent for not providing these children with a brand of medical care they, the state, deem is best for the child. An even better question is, how can all this be happening? We still have God-given, creator-endowed, unalienable rights in this country, and many people don't realize this as the DCF walks off with their children and forcefully medicates them against their will. This is primarily because parents are asking the wrong questions. Everyone just assumes that germs cause disease, vaccines and other medicines are of the purest quality and actually work, and that the local and state governments have the right to do what they do. This book will show you that 95% of the time any government agency acts, they do not have the authority to do what they do. Especially when it comes to forcefully medicating anyone, let alone a person's child. I will also show you how to ask the right questions and move forward against any corrupt bureaucrat with the proper skills and paperwork, like a bulldog rather than a frightened sheep. This book was written because the author has finally reached his speed limit for what he is able to watch. I can no longer stand idly by as more and more defenseless children become victims of mindless and villainous vaccination policies. The compiled research, which so obviously points to vaccinations being responsible for autism, childhood cancer, crib death, sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, allergies, asthma, ADHD, mental retardation, and other forms of childhood brain damage is staggering. Yet the money powers that be in the AMA and the medical pharmaceutical cartel relentlessly lie, cheat, and fraudulently present research which obfuscates the point that they are responsible for mostly every disorder they are attempting to alleviate. They control how the media reports them, the MDs who act as good foot soldiers underneath them, and the politicians who support their fraud. The AMA and its associated pharmaceutical companies, the center of operations for the medical cartel, have been the number one political contribution group for decades. This should also raise a brow. Since they spend millions on lobbying annually to make mega-billions in return, they have become so powerful that they feel no one, not government, moral society, or even God, has authority over them. When anyone questions their motives, they simply don't answer in an air of condescension and laugh all the way to the bank. Many people are familiar with how the radar detector manufacturers, who sell a myriad of detection devices to the general public, also manufacture and sell the actual radar devices to the police. This beautiful scenario helps them create profits out of thin air. Upgrades in police radar devices are followed shortly by upgrades in the public's choices of radar detection devices. It goes on and on and on. But this is exactly how the AMA and its army of medical profiteers thrive. The medical cartel owns the CDC, a federal organization called the Center for Disease Control, and many other federal agencies. They have no problem whatsoever in creating diseases and disease panic spread through the media and legislated by various puppet agencies. I will show you how they have systematically created many a disease panic, using their powers in the media and the FDA to provide mass panic, followed by their own brand of cure and vaccine. I will also show you how they have falsified research, tricking the public and lawmakers into believing their vaccines and medicines have actually helped society. The brainwashed aspect of our society then runs for these cures. State health departments are offered more cash in federal aid if they comply with appropriate lawmaking campaigns to support the medical cartel's lies. This happens every day of our lives. When I was a boy, our doctor was my hometown's only MD for years. He was a dedicated and humble man, who believed that there was nothing good diet and rest could not cure. During this time, he told me that vaccines were poison and good for nothing. He refused to administer them to anyone. Despite this, I went through the standard propaganda training through school that disease is something you can catch from the outside world, usually in the form of some foreign body called a germ. I entered college with aspirations of becoming a medical doctor and learning how to heal people. But something happened during my junior year that made me take a more serious look at medicine. I had slit my big toe on a friend's slate step, running up to his pool. It was quite a bloody mess. After the bandaging, my knowledge made me insist on a trip to a physician who would give me a tetanus shot, and all agreed that this was a wise decision of a smart young man on his way to becoming a good doctor. So I went to go see the doctor. He administered the tetanus vaccine, and I fell into anaphylactic shock on his treatment room floor a few seconds later. Although I did not have a standard out-of-body experience you hear of in most almost-died stories, I was indeed almost dead. I remember having a clear sense in my blacked-out state that I could leave this world here and now. Although I blacked out, what I saw in front of me was nothing like black. It was more like spiraling and sparkling lights swirling around me. I felt an almost immediate sense of panic that I might be permanently detached from my physical body, and realized that I could not locate my physical substance anywhere in my perception. I may very well have been called into the void, but a loud voice emanating from within me said firmly, "No!" And I realized then that it was not my time to leave, and I felt myself gently sink back into a more cohesive awareness of my physical form. Then I awoke, collapsed on the floor. I was sitting on an examining table for the shot, with two doctors, a nurse and a receptionist nervously and intently staring at me. One doctor immediately retook my blood pressure. The cuff was already on my arm. "What happened?" I asked them.
"We've been trying to revive you for 5 minutes," the doctor replied. "Your blood pressure practically went down to zero."
This was 1977, before the days of high malpractice, which causes doctors to persistently lie to their patients. In today's world, with the exact same circumstances, no doctor in their right mind would tell you the truth, especially just after administering you a vaccine. I was grateful for his information, and left thinking I had simply passed out due to anxiety centered around receiving a shot. The funny thing was, however, that I wasn't the slightest bit anxious about it. That was the last time I would have an injection of any kind other than lidocaine at the dentist. This experience slowly but surely changed my life. I decided to leave pre-med and go into secondary education. I taught high school biology and chemistry for 2 years, deciding whether or not I wanted to pursue a career in medicine. I actually did become accepted into a medical school in New York City, simultaneously with my acceptance to the local chiropractic college. Through my 4+ years at New York Chiropractic College, then located on Long Island, I was aware that half of my 110 classmates were there because they figured there was no chance they would be accepted into medical school. Although I mostly kept it to myself that I chose a career in chiropractic over medicine, close friends I did tell of my story could scarcely believe I would do such a thing. MDs were considered then the creme de la creme of doctors. They had all the privileges and insurance rights. They drove the big cars and made the big bucks, without any problems after graduation. As a DC, Doctor of Chiropractic, at best, one is considered a second-class kind of doctor who has to educate his patients about what he does. What a foolish burden I had laid upon myself. Well, nearly 40 years after first walking through those doors at NY Chiropractic College, I still have no regrets. In fact, every year I am able to serve people with natural, wholesome chiropractic care, which is true health care, rather than the disease care perpetrated by the medical profession. I feel eternally blessed. This book will describe to you many natural remedies and modalities as alternatives to the popular medical pills, potions, and lotions. I have been watching this medical profession very closely since the time of my childhood. We are dealing with a demon here of colossal proportions. You should never take this single fact for granted. If they are not stopped, here and now, they will grow to encompass and control our lives and the lives of our children in ways you may now think unimaginable. Believe me, they have only just begun. Each of you reading this text must stand up and fight for your right to choose what is best for your child and yourself. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any. If you continually sit idly by without asking questions, you will lose all your rights, even the ones you may think you have. Like the government, this medical cartel uses specific planned-out modes of psychological mind control to frighten people into voluntary compliance. The propaganda you have absorbed in your life up to now will no doubt come to the forefront as you read these pages, coaxing you to be skeptical and loyal to what you have been told. Most people will read these pages and automatically sense, from a higher portion of themselves beyond their conditioning, that there is truth here. During the congressional hearings on the relationship between autism and vaccines, led by Congressman Burton in April of 1999, everyone could see on C-SPAN how the MD puppets and the medical cartel placed there were having a lot of trouble denying the facts that autism has been created by vaccines. But they still present fraudulent research promoted and paid for by the medical cartel itself, assuring everyone that vaccines are safe. Yeah, right. DPT and MMR are safe, even though Europe and Japan banned them in 1975, and endless pages of research compiled by organizations other than the medical cartel say otherwise. Despite this, the AMA insists on our compliance and trust, stating that they will look into the matter. In the meantime, take 2 more shots and call me in the morning with brain damage. The unfortunate end result of all this bickering is that people who don't understand the argument, which accounts for 90% of the world's population, wind up defaulting onto the advice of their brainwashed MD or pediatrician, who assures them that no matter what they are hearing out there, vaccines and other medical treatments are safe, and anyone who opposes such a view is some kind of terrorist lunatic. It amazes me that this can be so, when all a parent has to do is read the packet insert of vaccines, which explains the risk and side effects. The only logical question to ask your pediatrician after reading that packet insert is, how can you say these are safe? The MD may answer, well, it's certainly safer than the risk of becoming infected with the disease. But I assure you, this text will prove how that is absolute nonsense. There is nothing but truth and facts on these pages, ones you can use to free yourself, your family, and community. The time has come for serious action if you want to protect yourself and your family. You must learn all the facts about what is really going on out there. You must now become a voice, and as loud a voice as you possibly can, a revolution against the medical profession and cartel who have become their own form of government, more powerful than you may imagine, is well overdue. I ask you to join this cause here and now, with the heart of a lion and the faith of a child. Winston Churchill once said that it is far better to choose to fight when there is a slim chance of winning than to have to fight when there is no chance at all. We are at that time of critical choice. Choose wisely. Your family's future very much depends on it. Dr. William Pulaski Trebbing. Quote, I believe that more than 90% of modern medicine could disappear from the face of the earth, doctor, hospital, drug, and equipment, and the effect on our health would be immediate and beneficial. Unquote. Robert Mendelsohn, M.D., in loving memory, author of Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Rest in peace, old friend. Your voice of truth continues through all those you inspired. The torch is still brightly lit, and I believe one day we will all be free.